I probably don't need to introduce Sammy to you guys. How many of you know Sammy? Yeah, we know you, buddy. Come on up and share the word of God with us. How many of you are praying regularly for Sammy? Yeah. Sam, just take a moment, turn around and take a look at that. Just raise your hand if you are praying regularly for Sammy, if he's in your prayers and you're interceding. Good. Awesome. Sam, why don't you come and share with
us? Thank you. You guys are so brave letting me again on this stage. A lot of things happening in my life, besides the fact I gained like 100 pounds from the last time I was here, but I also had a stroke. I mean, my testimony, I can't add anything to their testimony. I'm so blessed by hearing and having the opportunity to be here today and listen to you guys. A very encouraging. Can we get the PowerPoint? Yeah. Oh. All right. So I'm just going to pray starting, you know, sometimes I can be misunderstood, and I ask the Holy Spirit that will lead me into my purpose and goal, and not to be misunderstood. Satan has a very good way of making my point not clear. So, yeah, amen. I titled my testimony or presentation for today, it's called Seeking Refuge from the Dark. And I've been in dark spots, and I don't deny that. I've been 3 years ago, I wasn't a Christian, and that's something new. But next, I'm going to talk about it, the next slide. I was involved in the Scammer Refugee Committee, and everyone played a role in that just shaping of my Christian life. To everyone on the Scammer Refugee Committee, thank you for bringing me to the light, as we see next. The refugees and friendship, I wanted to talk about how the refugee committee became my friends, and the refugee also became friends of mine. So it was a mixture of feeling, and from feeling sorry for them and for the refugees, and also being a friend of the refugee committee, it's changed my life. Everyone on that committee is shaped my Christian life in a way that they just left a such important impact. And some of you been on the original refugee committee, Mabel, and the continuing Brenda and Val. So many of you have touched my life in way or another. So the next slide, the community, I was questioning myself all the time. There is something special about our community. here in the Swift. What's this? I didn't know. You are helping someone you never met before. It was a question I asked myself a lot. You prayed for some people you have not met before. You prayed for people that you're not from their religion or same religion or race. It's humbling. When I hear someone's prayer, I'm moved by it. And especially, you guys don't know them. They 1,000 miles up in the other half of the world, and you just prayed for them and helped them and raised money. This was make you different. And that what I felt. I felt there is something about them. They're not crazy, I know that. And the next slide. And I still, even Christ, Jesus presented himself and told me to, you know, question those people, look on their action. And I still, oh my God, because I'm not going to learn about Jesus. It's a Christian faith based on organization, the Schema Refugee Committee, but I refused. It's against everything I learned how to believe in or believe in. This is annoying me. So, yeah. I said, yeah, I don't want to talk about the religion. I don't want to talk about You can appreciate. I mean, that's
not a bad.
So I never thought I will get naked on this church stage. But yeah, so this is what I'm dealing with. So any other equipment would be more annoying. So yeah, refused to accept Jesus. It presented to me in different way, in the way you helped other, in the way you came together. But, I mean, that's not working either. And I'm not going to finish this on time, so. It was hard for me to refuse Jesus. And maybe I wasn't ready, but I didn't want to talk about it. I don't want to open up about it. Next. Everything I learned about Jesus is wrong, but I didn't want to explore the opportunity of learning about other religion. When you come from the Middle East, you're programmed in a way. You're scared from Jesus. You are taught that Jesus is a prophet, and you're not taught anything other than that of Jesus. And I considered myself, you know, well-educated man, and you know, I really didn't thought of it, and I didn't want to explore it because that's the way our mind has been programmed. Don't
totally. I wasn't a donkey, but I was in the dark. So, or a unitor. So I'm still in the dark at that moment in my life. Next. And I try to say this because my point will come clear later. I'm not trying to tell you not help refugees or not help people from another religion, because you're gonna see by the end of that presentation me talking about the purpose of it. But how many of you thought, oh, refugees or immigrants here to use our system? I thought about it. Next. My tax money not paid for them. Yeah. So if you can just go. Yeah. Using our health system. Yeah, I have it. An evidence of it. One day I was waiting with the refugee family to get their blood work, and someone made a comment, oh, those refugees. And the most common thing I asked is, I've been asked, why don't you bring Christian? We need Christian. Well, in our system, it's illegal to pick and choose. So we get what we get and work with it. But, I mean, so many times I have heard someone going to like Bolivia or Cambodia to minister and talk to people about God. And now we have them here. So why you go for the trip? Work on here, on the one what we have here. You know, every one of them is learned something about Jesus, which it was me at some point, and it wasn't true. And I didn't know that Jesus was crucified for our sins. And they come, they know no better. They not allowed to know any better. And that's what, you know, I was given a second chance of life, and I'm not wasting it. I'm going to do this my mission, to talk about Jesus everywhere, anywhere, during my hospital stay. By the way, I had a stroke, so I need double the time. It's harder to speak. Let's use that as an example. You know, why other countries doesn't help them? You know, all those questions you ask yourself, you say it or not, but you came across one of those questions. I did. Next slide. Why don't they stay there and fight? Again, another question. Next. And now it leads us to the question is, what makes us different from them? And what makes you different? Because you believe in Jesus. You are a Christian. You believe in loving, not hate. You believe and forgiven, you believe in grace. That's what makes us different. It's on you, not them, to show them grace, to show them love. It's your responsibility. When someone approached me, I didn't know anything about grace. I didn't know. I dare you to find a translation in Arabic for grace. There is no word for it. It's translated as forgiveness, and forgiveness, not grace. So it is on you, not me, not them. You show them grace. You show them love. You bring them to Jesus. That's your job. Everything I knew about Jesus was wrong. I was always thought, oh, those people are really crazy. They think Jesus is a son of God. Like, God would do such a sin. Everything about Jesus was wrong. And I'm not allowed to question it, because you can't question the Quran, for example. The Quran has to be on the highest shelf on your house. You can't, even if you think about questioning the Quran or the Sheikh, you have to do certain prayers and stuff. Like, you won't. It's a word of God, and God will be with you if you question him. The biggest lie, and it's a sign of oppression, the biggest lie of that everyone told us, we pray to the same God. We don't. And this what they were taught and been taught, because if you believe you're praying for the same God, you're not going to look for another God. It's a sign of oppression. They are scared in the Middle East to say, the Christian in the Middle East, to say, we pray to the Trinity, and they pray for Allah. So the translation of Allah is God. So that's what everyone say. But we don't. Now, I talked about that. I'm not allowed to question the Quran. And the Quran in about women, and again, it's not. I'm trying to let you know what the culture I came from, and the culture the refugee came from. It's not to disrespect any religion or culture, but the woman in Quran. The woman in the Middle East used to, if anyone have more than one female child, they used to kill her. So woman in the Quran supposedly it stopped that practice, and it honored woman by giving them a full chapter of named after them, after woman, An-Nisa, Surat An-Nisa, which is the chapter called woman or An-Nisa. In this chapter, and everyone back then thought, oh my God, it's a really good thing to stop killing woman. But in that same chapter, it talked about getting married for four wives. In that same chapter, it talked about discipline of women, the discipline. that made them behave. It's chapter 4, verse 15 in the Quran. Google it when you have time. It talks about that. You know, make the if the woman don't behave, leave them and go to the other one. And I still was in the dark. I still refuse Jesus. We are programmed to believe that way when we come from certain areas, that your brain is set one speed and that's it. Their way or the highway. Punishment. Anyone question God or refuse God as in other religion, not saying in my religion now, you get punished by getting beheaded. If you change your religion, I became a Christian, I'm at risk of being beheaded. It's not only that. My family is at risk of being prosecuted. Friends and community, they just ignored me when I became a Christian, but I have a way more loving community now, so I don't care. So this is not easy to become a believer of Jesus. It's not easy to make that decision in my case. And I mentioned there Pastor Joel and Sandra. And Pastor Joel, in my presentation, I was scared to tell him that I'm looking into the Bible. So I will choose verses on the Bible that it's in conflict with Christianity, Islam, and I'll send him as a text message, and I say, you know, explain this, or he will get very weird time a message, a me message to him, 2 a.m., 4 a.m., but the I was reading my Bible or listening to my Bible, and I was scared because I don't want to be known, you know? And I became an undercover Christian. So that's what was my life. I was scared, and you don't think about it. You think that your life is easy, but my life, at least, my experience hasn't been easy. And I mean, I'm in good position. I'm in Canada. I'm Canadian. And I was afraid to make this choice. So can you believe those refugees, family that everything that we thought they've been taught about Jesus is wrong, and scared as hell to be just in different country. So yeah, I became undercover Christian. I graduated to detective. what's the graduation? A pastor? And Sandra, one day we were at a refugee family, and someone asked me, are you a Christian too? And I was like, no. And she looked at me, and she knew, and she was, she knew I was a Christian, but undercover. And she said, well, if you don't deny Jesus, he's gonna deny you. And it didn't sit well with me. It didn't sit well. I don't want to get the bad end for both sides. That's not the deal we're talking about. It's not my deal. I can't be on the fence. And that on that time and that moment, I decide to be a Christian. So I get baptized. P's and P's now, M and M, L's. I have hard time doing it because of my stroke. So I became to the light. And I wanted to make my mission to speak of the gospel, to teach people about what they didn't know about the gospel and Jesus. And that's my passion. And I became sick, so I questioned myself again, and you know, questioned myself, and I wasn't as sick before, so I'm, oh my God, it's God punishing me. That's what I've been programmed to think. You work and you receive. No one is given grace. So now I question my faith, and thanks to all of your support, I stayed strong. And, you know, Pastor Nick and many other pastors support me during my hospital stays. So that was keeping my faith. I got emails and messages after my baptism, like, how dare you deny Islam? You're going to hell speaking publicly of Christianity. We may burn you alive and your whole family. That's exactly the wording from the text message I got, or email, or Facebook. They're random. But do you really have a death wish piece of grace? We are going to crucify you. So that message I got, I posted a video on Help a Heart about grace, and that the message I got. I hope you never find a heart. You will be suffering till you die and then burn on hell. And the best of them all is the next one. The next one, you deserve the stroke and all the complication that happened to you. That was said to me in a phone conversation from someone that I really cared and loved about. So, and I was in a coma for 3-4 weeks before, after my surgery. And I didn't know what's happening. I didn't know anything. And all those messages I'm getting, I wasn't able to breathe. I was on, I had that trach, and I wasn't able to breathe and stuff. And I didn't read it for those messages for like almost 5 weeks after my surgery. And that's what their response was. You deserve what came for you. I still to be in I came to the light because no one see the dark and choose it. If you have an option between light and dark, obviously you're gonna go for the light. And I felt that even though I was living, but I was dead. I was alive, but I was dead. But now I feel, even though I'm halfway to the grave, I feel alive more than I did before. So, yeah. And, yeah, I'm not going to stop speaking of the gospel. I'm not going to stop speaking to people and minister to them and show them the light. That's my mission, and I will die doing it because I will transfer to the life of eternity. My mission will be to tell the truth about Jesus. And I want to ask you, what should you take from my testimony? Because I heard your testimony. Oh my God, it's tearing us from Islam or refugee. I don't mean that. And what I wanted to take from my testimony. So, this is the big question. A family is coming. They will be arriving on the 18th of October. The family is a family of 8 parents and 6 children. I ask you, and I believe in you, to show them the love that you showed all the others. Grace. I have never experienced grace till my Christian life. So give them grace. And really, that's all we have to do is being a Christian. If you act like a Christian, you shouldn't be having any problems. Any Christians believe in grace and love and share the love with them. Share the gospel with them. That's what my advice to you. And I really hope that's what you'll take from my testimony. Thank you, and do you have any more slides? Yeah, show them the light. Yeah. So, thank you so much for giving me the time. I promise I won't take line, but I did, so sorry.
I told Sammy that the Holy Spirit doesn't have a clock, so... You can blame me. What we want to do, though, just as we close off our service, we want to pray for you, Sammy. If you guys want to come forward and become part of this too, let's just go down here onto the main floor. And if anyone wants to come forward and also pray for Sammy, come at this point, and we're going to pray for Sammy. Father, once we were aliens and strangers, we were outcasts, we were refugees, we were lost in the dark, we were searching for something and we didn't know what it was until we saw Jesus. And there are so many people right now that are in that same place, lost. They just don't even know any better, Lord. And those of us that have Jesus, we sometimes hoard him. And we keep him to ourselves. And we're not bold. Thank you that you have made Sammy bold. I pray that through his witness, many would come to know Jesus. That they would see that Esau is the greatest prophet of all, and more than just a prophet. The very Son of God, God who came to be one of us so that we could receive forgiveness, not a forgiveness we've earned, a forgiveness we could never earn. Grace. We pray for your hand of healing on Sammy. Our hearts long for you to just restore him to full health so that we have 50 years with him, Lord, 100 years with him here on earth if you tarry. But we also know that he is completely in your hand. You number the hairs on his head, the days of his life. You've known him from before he was born, before any of his family knew him, before we knew him. You knew him, and you love him. And so we lift him up to you, Father. We pray that you would protect him. We pray that his witness would soften the hearts of those who are angry with him. And I pray that it would cause them to ask themselves, what is it that they're afraid of? What is it that's keeping them in the dark? Jesus, you are the light. You're the light in the dark place. You're the light in this world. So we bring Sammy before you. We pray for healing in your name. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the healing God. And you ask these things in Jesus' name.